And I want you to get this really clearly. The Word of God tells us the will of God for you and I as His kids. This is the will of God. In every circumstance, give thanks. I want to tell you it's not a bumper sticker. I want to tell you it's not a suggestion. I want to tell you it is a command from the Lord that changes the outcome. It doesn't matter what come. It is a command of the Lord in every circumstance to cause you and I to be more than overcomers, to be victors in every circumstance. He's going, you do this. This is my will. You do this and it's going to be okay. You don't do this and the enemy is going to steal, kill, and destroy and your life is going to be affected. He's going, this is my will for you. My kids, in every circumstance, I don't care what it is, in every circumstance, begin giving thanks. Begin giving thanks. There's two questions, and I'm not going to get to both of them today. But there's two questions we're going to look at. I'm going to look at the other one probably next week. But there's two questions. Number one is this, why? Why is God saying in every circumstance give thanks? The second one is how. Next week, I'm going to get into the how. Today, we're going to talk about the why really quickly, and then we got to solidify it by this game here. I want you to write down, if you would, and Jeff is going to shoot it up on the screen, just at your page, would you just make the subtitle why? Okay, why give thanks? We need to understand the spiritual thing behind this, and I want you to understand this really clearly. You're going to see it in a moment when I write it on the board. I want you to understand that the practice of giving thanks in every circumstance is not natural. It is supernatural. The natural, when a negative things happen in our life, what is the natural? We've all been, what's the natural? We begin complaining. We begin begging. We begin looking at the negative. Out of our mouth begins to spew, not what's positive, but we begin to spew what's negative. That is the natural. Can I tell you, in the flesh, we will move to complaining. It requires a different spirit on the inside of a person that in the circumstance, doesn't matter what the circumstance, when they open their mouth, all of a sudden comes thanksgiving. I will quote this till I die because it impacted my life without her even knowing it. Donna, can I use you again? It's too late. Your name's already out there. When we had our car rally a number of years ago, and Donna, her team beat us to the one point, and we drove up after. She was already across the road. She was getting the clue off the post. She was on her way back. We just pulled up. She was coming out of the ditch, and she fell. She landed on the gravel, ripped her pants, and she was laying there with her knee bleeding. As soon as I saw that happen, I whipped out of the car, ran across the road, got there, and what I heard coming out of her mouth was, "Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Give you glory, Jesus." As she's laying there with a bleeding leg on the ground in pain, she opens her mouth and out of it spews thanksgiving. And I got to tell you, without her saying a word, I had an instant rebuke in my spirit going, holy smoke, this lady is genuine. She's real. God, make me like that. Because how many of us men have smacked our thumb and out of our mouth came, thank you, Jesus. The healthiest parent out there never just tells their children what to do. The healthiest parent explains to them why they are asking them to do what they're being asked to do. The unhealthy parent says, do it because I say it. And if you don't do it, you're going to be sorry. The healthy parent says, I need you to do this, and let me explain to you why. The why changes. The why gives the child value. The why is there when the parent is not there, dominating, forcing. The why is what builds it on the inside. It's the explanation of why that makes them intrinsically motivated as compared to I'm telling you, which is extrinsic. Very few parents know how to build internal, intrinsic motivation in a child. Don't get me off topic. But I believe God is the best parent that when he says, this is what I want you to do, and then he goes, this is why. You need to know why it is best for you not to sleep with someone before you get married. You need to know why. Not just because mom and dad said so. Mom and dad said so isn't enough. It doesn't hold somebody when they're in that compromise. The internal why from God the parent is enough to go, I'm not going there. You're not worth it. Man, are we getting off track today, aren't we? I want to give you the why. I want you to write down five things. I had Jeff shoot them up because I don't want you to miss these. I may not say them exactly. the moment, in any circumstance, the moment, the very first thing when you begin to give thanks in a circumstance, you immediately begin to pour life into the circumstance. You pour life. What does Proverbs 18:21 says? Life and death is in the power of the what? When you open your mouth, either life is going to come out or death is going to go out. The moment you begin giving thanks in that circumstance, you begin pouring life into that circumstance where the enemy is going, I'm giving you this to create death, but you're turning it into life. I wiped out Donna's leg and knee to try and wreck her whole. Not just a car rally, but I mean, how many days after that? And she opens her mouth and out comes life. The enemy goes, shoot, I did it to the wrong person. God knows better than we do that the moment we open our mouth, we begin to spew something. There is a fountain that comes out of us. He knows. If you open your mouth and begin to shoot life, he goes, I can change the entire environment. I can change that circumstance. But I need you to work with me. The life out of your mouth is what I use. It's like the Holy Spirit hovering over nothingness. He's going, if you give me life, I can begin to create where there was nothing before. When we open our mouth, instantly we begin to pour life when we are giving thanks. Just write down Proverbs 18:21. The second one is this. In that circumstance, the moment we begin giving thanks, we are instantly reminded that we are not alone. Can I got to tell you, it's so funny. Do you recognize, and Holy Spirit, just allow them to get it. Do you recognize that every time a person gives thanks, there is an object to the thanks? Even today, when people are without God are giving thanks around the table, they're giving thanks well to the universe. Well, they're giving thanks to all the, you know, Mother Nature. They're giving thanks to somebody because you cannot give thanks. There's got to be an object. So when I go to Diana, I say, Diane, thank you for praying for me. She's the object. I'm giving my thanks to Diane. I just can't go, well, thank you for praying for me. There's no object to that. You don't thank nothingness. The moment you begin to open your mouth and give thanks in a circumstance, you are instantly reminded, the Holy Spirit goes, you're not alone. The desire of the enemy, when he hits us with things in a circumstance, is to make us forget that God's there and make us feel like we are alone in the midst of the circumstance. That's one of his design. The moment you start being thankful, Holy Spirit goes, you're not alone. You're not alone. That response changes how every person looks at a circumstance going, either I'm in this by myself or God is with me. And can I say this to you? When God is in every circumstance that we encounter, is the outcome going to be different? The last thing the enemy wants is for you is to remember that you are not alone. I love Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Isn't it awesome? They're being threatened with a fiery furnace. They're being threatened to be sent to heaven. They're being threatened the whole deal. And do you see the anxiety in their face? They're going, today God's going to deliver us, and even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to you. We're going to walk into that furnace. You don't even need to throw us in. We're just going to walk in there. Do you know why? Because we know that we're not alone. The beautiful thing is when they got in there, he manifests. Jesus manifests in the furnace. If you ever heard the message called the fourth man, you got to hear that message. But they lived with a revelation that in that circumstance, you're going to take my life, you're going to hang me by my fingernails, you're going to throw me in a burning thing, you're going to cut my head off. I'm not alone. That circumstance isn't moving me. A couple years ago when Jane and I took a river cruise from Paris up to Normandy, powerful cruise, we stopped at the place where Joan of Arc was burned at the stake. I stole the cobblestone out of the road. Asked forgiveness, I'm okay. I have it in my room. Joan of Arc goes to the stake. She's burning at the stake. We know the story of Joan of Arc. Joan of Arc goes, this circumstance isn't going to change me. God is bigger. God is with me. How is it that every disciple other than John, they lost their life through martyrdom and they didn't compromise? Hang them upside down. Cut them in half. Do whatever. God is with me. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Paul is in prison. He's been beaten with rods. His bodies are broken. And he's worshiping. He's giving thanks to God. How come? A reminder, I'm not alone in this circumstance. This prison doesn't change me. The moment you begin to give thanks, God goes, the moment you do that, my spirit will remind you, I'm there with you. I don't care where you are. In the fiery furnace, I don't care if you're in prison. I don't care if you're hanging upside down on a cross. I don't care where you are. You are not alone. Makes all the difference to whether people make it or not. Look at number three. Why do you give thanks? Number three, it is an instant reminder that what? Oh, I'll do that one too. That's a good one. That was my number four. No, that is my number three on there, isn't it? Yeah, I got it right on there. I got it wrong on mine. I told someone the other day, it's kind of interesting. And they threatened to squeal on me, so I'm just going to... What's the best way to defuse a bomb? Blow it up yourself, right? So I said to someone the other day, when we were in Winnipeg, we were traveling around, I said, it's really funny because there's times when I'm preaching that I'll come behind my little stand here, and it'll look like I'm waiting on the Holy Spirit to hear. The truth is, I'm really trying to figure out what I just wrote. And they went, hey, I'm going to tell everybody that. I went, no, that's fine. I'll tell them myself, right? The moment we begin to give thanks in that circumstance, I want to tell you what the Holy Spirit does. We begin giving God thank you, giving God praise. All of a sudden, the character of God comes. Can I tell you, every circumstance wants to fill you with fear. I want to give you a great example. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's daughter, Kelly, they got a bad report on their daughter. We were just talking about the other day. Now, this is a number of years ago. They got a bad report. What was it again? Blood disease of some kind. They said she's only got Kelly's daughter. Yeah. Except, yeah, spinal meningitis in the head. So they went in, they got the diagnosis, didn't give her very long. What Kelly said is, and she talks about it, she said she left that room, she went over here into a private room, and what she did, she said, I refuse to fear. And then she began giving thanks. So what happens? I want to tell you, in every circumstance, it doesn't matter if the weather goes bad, it doesn't matter if you have a flat tire, it doesn't matter if someone gets a bad report. Every circumstance, the enemy comes and goes, I'm giving you a circumstance because I want you to crack the door open to fear. I want you to crack the door open to fear. If I could just get you to crack the door open with your mouth, if I can get fear inside of you and you begin to open your mouth and instead of giving thanksgiving, you begin to talk fear, I can come in there and what Proverbs 10:24 says is what a person fears comes upon them. Who's the scriptural principle with that one? Job, we know that. What Job feared came upon him. In every circumstance, the design of the enemy is to plant inside of you fear because then he can accomplish the worst. The moment we have a revelation, can I ask you, what is the antidote for fear? Faith in what? What's the antidote for fear? What casts out fear? Perfect love casts out fear. That's the antidote. When you are loved perfectly, you walk with no fear. You look at any child who walks in perfect love with his parents, healthy love, there's no fear in that child. They have no fear. They have no insecurity. They have no self-consciousness. It doesn't exist because perfect love doesn't allow that to grip. In that circumstance, God says, you begin to give thanks. I'm telling you, you give thanks, you'll be aware of my presence with you, and I will remind you, I am love, and my perfect love for you will not allow fear to enter in this circumstance. Oh my goodness, the stock market is dropping. God, you're with me. God, you have love for me. Because of your perfect love for me, I'm not allowing the fear of the stock market, my mutuals, all that stuff. I'm not allowing that fear to enter into my life. I'm not allowing that. Can I ask you a question? Are there people who commit suicide when the stock market drops? Are there farmers who commit suicide when their crops don't come off and they got massive debts and they can't pay for them? Are there farmers who commit suicide? A lot more of them begin drinking, but they commit suicide. It's a circumstance that if you live in the flesh, you're going down. If you live in faith, you're going up. God says, if you will remember that I'm there and remember that I'm a God of love and my perfect love for you, fear will not be able to enter into you. Let me tell you, every circumstance wants to fill you with fear. The antidote is the perfect love of the Father. Would you write down number four? You know the story about the mouse and the elephant? There are some people who live with a revelation, it doesn't matter what Goliath comes at me, God is bigger. It doesn't matter what comes at me, God is bigger. We've had an accident in our family, God is bigger than that. We got a Red Sea in front of us and the Egyptians are behind us, God is bigger than that. We got a bad report about our child, God is bigger than that. I just got news that I'm losing my job. God is bigger than that. You give me one circumstance that is bigger than our God. Just try and give me one. The moment we begin giving thanks in a circumstance, we become aware of God's presence, His love for us. All of a sudden, God goes, I'm bigger. I'm bigger. I'm bigger. You're the mouse. I'm the elephant. I'm bigger than your circumstance. Can I tell you? Every child who is confident that their parent is bigger than their problem has total peace. Oh, Dad can look after that. I want to just say a blunt statement to you. When you get into circumstance and all of a sudden you begin being anxious, all of a sudden you begin worrying, all of a sudden out of your mouth comes death, all of a sudden you begin complaining, all of a sudden you lay at night worrying, the reality is your God is too small. The size of your God is too small. All of those are symptoms of a person whose God is very small and they have to live like an orphan. It's like, I can't rely on my God, so I got to do it myself. Your God is too small. I just read some time ago, someone said, they need to be about the work of increasing the size of God in your life. Get to a point where He's bigger than He is today. Get to a point where He's bigger and bigger. Get to the place where every circumstance in your life, you look and go, God, are You bigger than that? God, are You bigger than that? Why is it King Saul and the entire Israelite army stood back for 40 days while 9-foot Goliath is looking at him and little ruddy David walks up there, looks at him and goes, your head's coming off today, boy. Can I tell you why? Because inside of that young boy, God had trained him, I'm bigger. I'm bigger than the lion. I'm bigger than the bear. I'm bigger than the coyote. I'm bigger than the gopher. If I'm bigger than them, I'm bigger than Goliath. Is the size of your God bigger than your circumstance? For some of you, all you need to hear today is that you need to increase the size of your God because He's just too puny, which means you got to worry. Why do we give thanks? Look at the fifth one. When we begin giving thanks to God, and I want to tell you this works in my life, when I begin giving thanks to God in a circumstance, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit now has the freedom to begin to flood me, with the promises of God that come back in those circumstances. I just want you to write those down. Write them down. I'm going to give them to you right away, but if you would just write those promises down, it'll save you a little bit of work. If you want to do it on your own after and build your arsenal of promises, you can do that. But I want to tell you what the Lord gives me when I get into a circumstance. It doesn't matter what it is, with my kids, with finances, with ministry, a circumstance with a vehicle, the stock market, it doesn't matter what the circumstance. I want to tell you, God begins, when I begin giving thanks, He begins flooding me with these promises. The Holy Spirit brings them up, and the promises of God begin to do what they do. Hebrews 13:5, He goes, I will never leave you or forsake you. In a circumstance, that is the promise. Isaiah 43:16, God makes a way where there is what? No way. When there is no way in your circumstance, God goes, that's my specialty. I make ways where there is no way. Give me the impossible. That's where I shine the most. Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for my good. Give me a circumstance that God cannot work together for my good. Give me a circumstance. Genesis 50:20, God takes what the enemy meant for evil and does what? Turns it for good. Every circumstance that hits me that the enemy means for evil, God goes, call. Just be giving thanks and watch me turn it. Watch me turn it. Isaiah 61:3, God specializes in bringing beauty out of ashes. He goes, you bring to me any pile of ashes that the enemy brings into your life and begin giving thanks and watch me rise beauty. Watch me rise beauty out of it. Luke 10:19, all authority has been given to me as a child of God. In those circumstances, if I don't know my authority, I begin speaking death. When I know my authority, what do I do? The disciples are in the boat and the storm is coming and Jesus is sleeping. And here's the disciples. They open their mouth. Is it life or death? Oh, we're going to drown. Jesus, you don't care. Isn't that a beautiful statement? God, you don't care about me. Any of you ever said that? And isn't it funny? The circumstance didn't determine the outcome. Jesus' response did. He stood up, he rebuked it. The whole thing went silent. The circumstance can't determine the outcome. It's our response to it. You will either drown or the storm settles and you make it to where you're going. Look at this other one. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. God will restore what? Everything the enemy has stolen. When you begin giving thanks in a circumstance, I'll tell you, the promises begin flooding. Zach prayed it in the prayer room today. Every promise in Scripture, every promise been made because of Jesus, they're already fulfilled. They're already fulfilled. Our job is simply to believe them. That's our job, is believe them. I want to do something this morning to solidify. And I need you to help me with this. Let me explain it to you and then I'll get your help doing this. What I'm going to ask is for two people to come up and sit on the complainer side, two people to come up and sit on the Thanksgiving side. And then I'm going to give you a circumstance. I'm going to give you 30 seconds on the complainer side to come up with two complaints on the circumstance, and on the Thanksgiving side to come up with two Thanksgiving. Lots of us need to practice giving thanks because the natural is complaining. It's kind of interesting, Jane's word this morning, where it's like God wants to change. Some of us automatically think the worst. Some of us were the cup half empty. Some of us, we just have the negative pessimistic. It's going to happen. It's going to happen to me. Part of this has to be broken and undone, but part of it is training as well, where we go, this is the will of God. I need to begin training. Now, can I just say this to you? I challenge you to begin giving people in your circle, people who hear you talk, I challenge you to give them the freedom to say, if you ever, in any circumstance, hear me doing anything but give thanks, would you rebuke me? I give you the freedom to rebuke me. Bring it to my attention. Tell me I'm speaking death instead of life. I want to change. Sometimes I don't see it. It's my blind side. Would you give your spouse permission? Or people around you? But here's how we're going to do it. So we're just going to, I'm just going to randomly, and this doesn't mean you're a complainer, but I want us to see how easy in every circumstance. I need two people, not husband and wife, I need two people to come and sit on the complainer side. Two people from this section, would you just come? Two people, please. Anybody, if you don't, I'll get you. Two on the other side, the thankful side, any two people. Can you just come to the front and sit on the side? Any two. If you don't, I'm pointing you out. Al, could you join her? Thanks for volunteering, Al. You'll be the first of many volunteers, believe me. So I want you to understand again that on the complainer side, and can I just say this really clearly? You know, we sometimes think that as believers we can do things and not have it affect us. Can I ask you, when the people of Israel left Egypt, they got in the wilderness and began complaining, did that affect God? How does God look at complaining? In the Old Testament, let me tell you what he actually did, is the moment they began complaining and speaking out, he split the earth and he swallowed them all up and closed it up and go, no more complaining. I won't have death in the camp. Today we complain like we have the right to complain and think that nothing changes in our spiritual climate. Can I tell you, the moment we begin complaining, that the door opens to the enemy and he just can wreak havoc. He can wreak havoc. No wonder God says, my will is always give thanks. Always. Here's the warm-up. You got 30 seconds after I give it to you. You got to write two complaints and you got to write two thankful, okay? Coffee break during church. I want to hear two complaints about coffee break. I want to hear two thankfulness about coffee break. You got 30 seconds. Let's go. Just start coming up with it. Because can I tell you, every Sunday when we get up and have coffee, there are some who have the gift of complaining. They will go back. They will find. It'll be interesting to find. If you have that spirit in you, you'll find out right away, you can find negative. You can complain about anything. The other side is when some people get up and they walk to the back, they're nothing but thankful. We're going to find out a couple things to be thankful for. Can I say this does not reflect in any way the people sitting under the categories? Just because you're on this side doesn't mean you're a natural thanker. There'll be others there as well. You may have to grow. Just because you're here doesn't mean you're a natural complainer. Just want to just make that really clear. Okay? All right. I want to hear, Duncan, are we live? I want to hear coffee break in the middle of church. If you have that flesh, critical, complaining spirit, I want you just to identify two things that you can complain about during coffee.
Man, the creamers are always soured.
The coffee today was late.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Same day, by the way. Go ahead.
I'm so thankful I can get a hug from Diane at coffee break. That lifted me up.
Wow, that is awesome. Coffee break did it.
I'm so thankful I could go to the washroom in between the worship and the message.
Wow. That's awesome. Okay, by a show of hands, I want to know which one is more impacting for you. How many of you were very excited and in agreement with the complaint side? Just let's clap, shall we? Just would you clap? I'm making a point here. How many of you in circumstance look at this and go, wow, you can be thankful for anything during that time? Would you give them a clap if you're in agreement with that this morning? Awesome. Thank you, guys. Can you go? I need two more volunteers from the complainer side, two more on the Thanksgiving side. Two more. If you don't volunteer, I'm poking you. Gordon, can I have you join on the complaint side? Okay. This is hypothetical. Church service is 2.5 hours long. If you are a complainer in the flesh, I'd like you to write down two complaints for 2.5 hour service. On this side, 2.5 hour service, I'd like you to write down two things that in the midst of it, you can be thankful for. You can find it. We're just warming up with these. We're going to get to some big dogs right away. You got 30 seconds. And again, the people sitting here do not reflect where they're sitting under. Just making that disclaimer. All right. Let's begin over here. 2.5 hour church service. I'd like to hear two things you can be thankful for in a 2.5 hour service.
I'm so thankful that we have a pastor, volunteers, and staff who are willing to dedicate so much time to us.
That is good. That's good. Did we get that on tape? That is really good. That doesn't happen often. Another one, Dana?
I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit spoke up and we had 45 minutes of extra ministry time. I needed that today.
Whoa. Thankful. Beautiful. On the flesh side, a couple complaints on a 2.5 hour service.
The praise and worship is too long and all that standing.
My Thanksgiving dinner with family will be really late today.
That's good. That's good. Okay, by a show of hands, clapping. How many of you think this one wins over here? Just give them a hand clap, would you? By a show of hands, how many of you think this one, just a clap, would you? By a clap. Thank you. Two more in each category. Let's hit some real ones, shall we? If you don't volunteer, I'm picking you. I love this. People start avoiding my eye contact. This is just like school. It's like, how are my shoes? Are they clean? Is that, wow. That's awesome. I need two on this side. Cheryl, that'd be awesome if you could do that. Kyle, would you? Yeah. The weather has been really crappy through harvest season. The weather has been really crappy during harvest season, really rainy. I want to hear two complaints. I want to hear two thanksgivings. In all circumstances, give thanks. I want to hear two. Can I just ask you, could it be any clearer when we talk about this scenario that this category right here is just the natural? It's just the given. Go in the coffee shop. Talk to anybody about the weather. Talk to the farmer about harvest. When they crack open their mouth, what are you going to hear? What's the natural? The negative. It's all that's going to come. This you do without even trying. This you do because it's impossible and you have a different spirit in you. When you hear someone talking positive in the midst of all this harvest stuff going on, you know they're different. Let's start with the natural. A couple complaints.
How am I going to pay the bills?
A
the pastor said if I pray, I'd have good weather, and it's just not happening.
Wow. Let's close in prayer. Can we just shut it down? Right. My first thought is you need a different pastor. That's my first thought, but I want to hear in this circumstance, this is, again, let me just say, this is the will of God, guys. I'm not asking you to do this because you're comfortable. I'm asking you, this is the will of God. So God, if this is your will, I need your help to find the good in the midst of what's not good. Two things to be thankful for.
It's actually nice that it's getting colder because it's not too muddy to be in the fields.
Yeah. Actually, I did. I saw the Hutterites the other day actually drove their truck in the field and were unloading while they're combining. They had not done that till the other day. That's awesome. Give me another one. Cheryl.
Fall is the most beautiful time of the year, and in spite of the rain earlier, lots of crops are coming off now.
Can I just ask you one question? Is God bigger than the weather? Is he bigger than the circumstance? There are some who believe it and actually speak like it. By a show of hands, how many of you think this is the best way to respond? By a show of hands. How many of you believe this is God's will to respond? Just clap your hand. Thank you, guys. Two more people in each category. Let's do this quick. Two more. Two more. Chad and Kevin, can I have you guys come? Arnold Evangeline, can I have you come? Sure, you go that side. Evangeline, you're on the thankful side. Oh, good. She goes, good. Ooh. Here's a scenario. You're the people of Israel. You're in the wilderness, and you have no water. You're in the wilderness, and you have no water. I want to hear a couple complaints that would come from the natural flesh. I want to hear, in that circumstance, God's will is to be thankful. I want to hear it. You got 30 seconds. Let's go. All right. You're in the wilderness, and you have no water. I want to hear two complaints.
Now everybody's got to go to the bathroom and not wash their hands. Or you're all doomed.
Wow, I didn't think of that one. Second complaint.
Well, we're all going to die out here. God delivered us from Pharaoh, but he's not big enough to give us water here in this desert.
We're all going to die. Yeah. Okay, let's talk the impossible. Two, thankfulness in the desert with no water.
I'm going to make this personal. I watched him move the water in the Red Sea. He can move water here. Mm-hmm.
The love of my Father will sustain me.
Even with no water. Just for the sake of it. How many of you give a hand clap and go, this is the best response? Just clap, would you? Ushers. How many of you in the wilderness with no water, this is the life-giving response? How many of you? Thank you. Two more people. Two more. Just going to do this a couple more times. Volunteer, I pick you. Thanks, Shay. Thanks, Liz. Two more. Thanks, Seth. One more. One more. Ron? Sure. King David had a son, got sick, and the son died. We're all hit with a problem. Every one of us has a loved one that will eventually, if they have not already, died. God says, in all things in all circumstances give thanks. I want to hear, in that scenario, two complaints. David's son died. Two complaints. In the midst of that, two thanksgivings. When you open your mouth, what flows out? You got 30 seconds. In that circumstance, two thanksgivings to God. Your son has just died. Two thanksgivings, pouring life over it instead of death. What are they?
God is merciful to bring me comfort.
I would say, thank you, God, that you have my life and his life in your hands.
Right away. Two complaints.
It should have been someone else instead of mine.
How can I be thankful losing the person I love?
Thank God. I listened to God and did what was right for my mom. No regrets.
Awesome. Can I ask you, don't raise your hand, how many of you in a circumstance, a crisis like this, have heard believers complaining to God, you didn't hear, we prayed, you took him away? Believers. No, let me change it. Christian label, not believers, Christian label. I find it fascinating that David, when his son died and he found out, what did he do? This is a Donna scraping her knee. What did he do? He got up, he washed, he put on robes, and where did he go? Into the temple to worship. Why? Because in every circumstance, give thanks. Thank you for one more. One more. Two more people, each side. Ramona's praying, oh God, don't let him pick me. Oh God, don't let him pick me. Oh Jesus. Two more people. Really quick. Verge. Three more. Elaine, two more. One more. Randy, do you want to come? Randy. I shouldn't ask you that. Do you want to come? No, don't say it. Randy, would you come? Give me a circumstance that you would find it almost impossible to find something to give thanks for. Come up with a tough circumstance. Someone stole your vehicle at church. Actually, that's too easy. That one's too easy. Let's come up with a tough one. Say it again. The bombing of a local school. Bombing of a local school. Two things to complain, death coming out of your mouth. Two things in that circumstance to give God thanks for. It's a good one. 30 seconds. On the natural side, the flesh side, the complainer side, two things that would spew out of your mouth, that spews out of most people's mouths.
I didn't like that school anyway.
I think you're on the wrong side. Elaine.
It's impossible to keep those crazy people out.
Okay. On the impossible side, two things to give God thanks for.
Give thanks for all the first responders and their willingness to help.
Yeah.
God is able to comfort all the victims' families.
Yeah. Can I ask you in this scenario, can God bring beauty out of ashes? Can God take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it for good? Is God bigger than the circumstance? Isn't it fascinating when the Humboldt accident happened? There were people who were absolutely bitter, absolute death, absolute hatred, absolute all of that. On the other side, there's a group of people over here. They found thankfulness in the midst of it. Thank you for, you can be seated. We didn't have to do the clapping anymore, did we, Gord? Cover them. Yeah, good news doesn't sell very well, does it? Yeah. What I want you to hear this morning, and I wanted you to hear every time, when we sit and we listen to people complain in circumstances, everybody who hears that, we're not going to clap for any one of them. Because we look at that and we hear it for what it is. The only time we don't hear it is when we open our mouth and we're the ones complaining. But there is no applause of heaven. There is no applause of men. The only applause you're going to hear when we open our mouth to complain is the enemy's going, I got him. I got him. You're going to hear a single hand clap. I got him. They're complaining about their spouse. I got him. It's the crack in the dam. This is going to end in divorce. I got him. They're complaining about that damn doctor. He didn't do it right. I got him. I can kill that person. And all of a sudden, you have a circumstance. You have someone rises up, and with something inside of them that is not natural, they open their mouth, and everybody expects there to be critical. In the coffee shop, everybody expects their complaint to flow out of their mouth. And all of a sudden, someone opens their mouth and goes, oh, I'm just so thankful that God is going to work this. I'm so thankful he can take this circumstance. I'm so thankful that 17 farmers got together with combines and 60 people got together and took that crop off you. Just watch what God's going to do. Just watch the beauty come out of ashes. Just watch him take what the enemy meant and turn it. Just watch him. If they don't get stoned in the coffee shop, can I tell you why? Because when 12 spies came out of Egypt and they saw exactly the same thing, two of them went, God is bigger than those giants. We can take this. That land is ours. With God, when God is with us, no problem. Two of them spoke it out. 10 of them sat on this side and said what? Oh, we're grasshoppers. Oh, they are giants. Oh, there's no way we could do it. Can I tell you this? They paid a 40-year price. And not just that, every complaining person in that camp died in that 40 years other than two people. And you know who they were? The two people who sat on this side of the table and said, out of my mouth is life. I wish I could tell you today that the moment you become a believer, that complaining no longer comes out of your mouth. I wish I could tell you today that guaranteed after 11 and a half years in a church, you will stop complaining and you'll just be a person who gives thanks in every circumstance. I could take you to people who have been in the church for 60 years and every time they open their mouth, still the sewage of complaint spills out. But I can also take you to people who've got a revelation that the will of God, not just for something good, bumper sticker, but it is warfare in every circumstance. They practiced it in every circumstance. Oh, I got a flat tire on my way and I'm going to be late. God, thank you. My dad, I used to hear my dad say, we're on holidays or we're going somewhere. We get a flat tire. Pull over the side of the road. My dad, first thing he goes, well, thank you, Lord. You're protecting us from something down the road. Thank you, Jesus. That's the first thing out of his mouth. As a kid, I'm looking and going, that's weird, Dad. As an older person, I look and I go, wow, Dad. Which are you? I'll tell you, in the flesh, we all begin here. By the power of the Spirit, we change sides of the table. And in every circumstance, in the coffee shop, in the classroom, when the family gets together for Thanksgiving and Christmas and everybody is doing their, we rise up and out of our mouth, life. Thankfulness, thankfulness, thankfulness. We become the exception in the midst of the sewage. In every circumstance, give thanks. For this is God's will. Ken, hang on, Ken.
I shared with Pastor Colin recently that I did an overview of my last 6-7 years of life. And I found that I had never said thank you so much in all my Christian life from when I came to know the Lord at 15. And that transformation started with one. One thank you shifted the whole direction and ended up with me being sitting here today in a relationship with God that I've never experienced before, 7, 6, 8 years ago. It starts with one. It's never too late to say, start changing the response.
Yeah. I remember what Kenneth Copeland said one time. He said, some of us, we need to pray for a crop failure. We have spoken so much complaint, so much negative, so much death out of our mouth that if all of it harvested in our life, we wouldn't want it. So I remember one time at the Believers' Conference, we stood and we all declared, he prayed, we all declared a crop failure on every word that we had spoken that was not in line with God's will. Can I tell you? If this is God's will to give thanks in every circumstance, every time this comes out of our mouth, it is never the will of God. It is never the will of God. Some of you need a crop failure. Zach, could I have you come and play for a moment? Today I want to tell you what you know. Today's Thanksgiving. It is nothing. It requires nothing when everything is good to give thanks. Even pagans do that. Although there are those, if the weather was beautiful, that they would complain it's too hot. When you have that spirit inside of you, it just nothing is good enough. Nothing's good enough. I'll tell you, as a pastor, over the years, we've had people come into the church, complainers. I don't dress right. They got problems with my hair. They got problems with my house. They don't even like my shoes. I've heard it all. When you got that spirit, you'll find something. You know what I'm saying? You can be a pagan when things are good and give thanks. That is not the test. The test is when you are in the storm. The test is when you are in the bottom of the well. The test is when your boat is about to go down and you crack your mouth open. What's going to come out? Can I challenge you? When you are getting hold of this, there are times it is better for you to shut up and say nothing than it is for you to open your mouth and begin spewing complaint that gives the enemy legal right. From critical to nothing is a step up. From nothing to thanksgiving is a step up. If you're here, you can try and get here, but I'll tell you, duct tape is a good transition. But I want to say this to you. As your spiritual father, if you ever catch me opening my mouth and out of it comes complaint or death, I give you permission to point it out to me. And I will make a commitment to you that if ever you open your mouth and I hear out of you complaint or death, because I love you, I'll bring it to you. Deal? Deal. Would you bow with me this morning? Father, I do not believe for a moment that when you capture things in your word, you just do it for the heck of it. You do it because it's the difference between life and death. It's the difference between blessing and cursing. It's the difference between being stolen from or experiencing the abundant life. Father, today I release a grace that we would have revelation in the area of the power of thanksgiving like we have never before. I ask, Father, that we would begin to see that your will for us in every circumstance is to open our mouth and to begin to give thanks, begin to speak out your will, begin to make you bigger than our circumstance so that you can prove yourself God in every circumstance we face. I thank you that we are not bound or limited to the circumstance that comes at us. I thank you that our response determines the end result. And we resolve today, as your children, to walk in your will. We resolve today to be people that in every circumstance, we will give thanks to you. I ask, Holy Spirit, for conviction that the moment a thought contrary comes into our mind, you would help us to catch it before it comes out of our mouth. We would be quick to listen and slow to speak. I ask for a grace, Father, in this body that because of the love you've given us for one another, that we would be able to speak to one another. We'd begin to help correct one another. We'd be sandpaper that we can begin to grow up and become more like Jesus because someone pointed out death coming out of my mouth. And Father, I ask that not just on Thanksgiving, but I ask in every environment that you plant us in, every workplace, every classroom, every family circumstance, I ask that you would take us as a people, and when death is being spoken, complaint is being spoken, criticism is being spoken everywhere, I ask you to release over us a Holy Ghost boldness to rise up and begin to give thanks when everyone else is complaining. That our voice would be the lighthouse giving people hope instead of the cesspool of death. Would you release a grace of thanksgiving over us, your children, today? If you recognize that you have been a person, that you've been prone to complain, that out of your mouth has been death, I want to give you a moment today just between you and the Lord to ask forgiveness. He says, you confess, I will forgive in a moment. I want you to break the legal right the enemy has, and I want you to declare a crop failure, that there will be no harvest on the complaint words that you have spoken. If that is you today, just take a moment, just between you and the Lord. Father, I thank you that the moment we ask forgiveness, we receive it from you, and the legal right of the enemy is broken to use those words against us. And I thank you that in a moment you can transfer us from being someone who speaks in the flesh to be a person who speaks by faith. Father, we know that giving thanks in every circumstance is not natural, it is supernatural. And so I thank you that you have filled us with your Spirit who gives us the power and the words in every circumstance to declare your will. Let us experience it not just one day a year, but Father, you have said that this is spiritual warfare. This is lifestyle. This is victory living. From this day forward, may we never be the same again. I declare over you today what you already know, that the Lord has blessed you and he's keeping you. The Lord has caused his beautiful face to shine on you, and he has been incredibly gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up his countenance upon you, and he has filled you with his peace in the midst of every storm. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I challenge you, can we go practice what we preach and let the world be affected by it? Have an awesome Thanksgiving.